Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 138. Meg Marcanos, you are running for city councilor in Ward 12. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you very much, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been a resident of Ancaster for years. I chose Ancaster as the place to start a family after Oakville that had somewhat lost its charm. And I wanted to raise a family in a place that still had that great sense of community. And moved to Ancaster 19 years ago, brought four beautiful girls into the world and still live.
Why are you running?
Politics. Municipal and all levels of politics have always been a keen interest of mine, even as a young girl growing up in a somewhat political home. And I am not partisan enough to ever align with a party and run or federal politics, even though as a little girl, I really wanted to be the first female prime minister. Over the last 8 years, I would say, particularly when they started actively talking about the green space, Ancaster High School and where I live, I became more interested, more concerned, and as my children were growing up, I thought, I need to pay more attention, and this is a place that not only deserves my attention, but I think I could do some...
Do you live in Ward 12, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in a percent?
I think it's important, but I know they don't have to.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
In various ways, my children, having four of them, were very involved in different sports and activities. When the kids were little, I chose to send them to Jackson Jill's Cooperative Preschool. And that's probably, other than the early year centers where I really got involved, made some actions. I sat on the board of directors there for 5 years and acted as their president for two, assisting actually with their move down into the Lions Valley pool. Kind of a neat transition that we were all scared of, but it turned out to be fantastic. I also, not just in Ancaster, but I have done a lot of work through the YMCA, working directly for the YMCA, their wellness programming, seniors, a lot of work with seniors and health and wellness. Also with a group that brings literacy, physical literacy programming to Hamilton. So they run that out of Redeemer typically, but things have been a little weird because of COVID. So I've also sat on their board. So a lot of interest in youth, a lot of interest in seniors, and a lot of in health and
wellness. What are two of your priorities for Ward 12 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as well?
Two priorities. Not that this is the most important priority, but I think the thing that nobody's talking about that I think is really important for Ancaster today is that we are now, Ward 12, a tourist destination. We have a hotel. We have a theater. We have fine dining, casual dining, the waterfalls and trails that have already existed. And we don't have an electric charging station in Ancaster. I would like to push forward the idea of a tier 3 electric charging station, ideally located behind the library, that our Barrack Inn guests could have overnight parking at should they come to town with an electric vehicle and want to stay and play in Ancaster. I think also, I mean, I'm going to saying what everybody else is saying. Ancaster has a very unique heritage. As one of the oldest municipalities in the province, we need to be sure to maintain the character of that village, particularly in our Ancaster BIA, and work on ways that we connect the old Ancaster with the new Ancaster so that it becomes one greater community. For the city, I think first, I am quite concerned with the ideas of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think that not just Hamilton, but a lot of municipalities have a lot of policies in place, but they don't have the understanding and the effort put into what it takes to truly a diverse, equitable. And I would be asking that the city look to do a DEI audit and based on what comes out of that audit, a DEI training program that I don't expect to be short. I expect it to be a long learning. As a white woman, I don't understand what it's like to be. I don't understand what it's like to be. And I think it's important who are making decisions for our city to understand the marginalized community. And I think also development in Hamilton, whether that be business development, residential development, development in general in Hamilton, needs to be done well. It needs to be thoughtful. We need to be looking at growth that respects our urban boundaries and growth that also welcomes business to Hamilton. So breaking down the red tape and rolling out the red carpet for businesses here in Hamilton and all of the wards, including Ward 12.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 12 on Hamilton City Council?
I am passionate, and that passion can be seen through active listening skills, but also through really standing up and not backing down on the issues that are important. I am a tremendous communicator, both listening and communicating needs, communicating how we might get from point A to point B, whether it be verbally or written. And I'm empathetic, and I don't want that to sound on the negative side of empathy, but we all come from different places, and I think able to look at other people's experiences, whether that be people in our own ward or people in different wards, and what is important to them in making decisions for the city as a whole.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
That's a tough question because I think every situation is very different. I have sat on boards, and ultimately when a decision is made, maybe you're not in favor of that decision, but the majority has made the decision, you do need to respect it. And I think that is an important part of being part of a group decision-making process. Having said that, if there is something that is ultimately destructive in some way, I would fight for the change to be made so that this information is public. I think that your integrity is questioned if you go against the promise of keeping confidential matters.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
That's a great question. And to be honest, I don't have a fantastic answer for you today. Not knowing what those findings will show is part of the problem, right? And so once we see what those show, I will say that if there were decisions made that should be legally upheld, then I think the city has to be held responsible, or whomever made those decisions needs to be. Lives were lost, and absolutely a critical issue that we be considering, but without knowing what that report will show, it's hard to answer.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunity?
Construction. So we have fall, winter, spring, and construction, or maybe two, winter and construction now. Construction is always going to be an issue. And I think we can look to larger municipalities that are always undergoing large construction projects like Subway in Toronto and others that have either implemented an LRT or enhanced their existing LRT. I think communication with residents is critical, that they understand the plans, how it will impact them directly, and how it will impact businesses, because our businesses can very negatively be impacted by a reduction in foot traffic or a reduction in automotive traffic to their. So communicating that well in advance and being transparent about why we're doing it and how long it will take.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 12 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
There's so much. I mean, a lot of people probably know, but how wonderful our trails are and how accessible they are to the community. So parking right by that lion's pool and walking into a forest, it is like you have entered a totally new place or a new about 150 meters. And I think it's unique to live in a community where you can go to Walmart and buy a package of diapers and be on a trail like that on foot, a unique piece of Ancaster, and it's what I love.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the types of housing and businesses which are permitted in location. There are two questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its residential zoning bylaws to conform with the provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law. Ward 12 zoning does not conform with the PPS. The result is ad hoc changes being imposed by the Ontario Land Tribunal. What is your vision for zoning changes in Ward 12? Please specifically address Wilson Street, intensification within the Meadowlands, and existing low-density single detached zone.
So we've got three topics here. Wilson Street. And Wilson Street's big. So we have our BIA section of Wilson Street, and then we have the rest of Wilson. If we're speaking specifically about the BIA, I think it's in our best interest to maintain that heritage and culture. That doesn't mean that there won't be some changes and there won't be some growth and development in that area, but I think it really needs to respect the unique heritage that Ancaster has with individual dwelling, the space between the sidewalk and the fronts of all of them, and the aesthetic heritage of it as well. The rest of Wilson, outside of the BIA, is a little bit different. And I think there are some great opportunities for some gentling throughout that area. We've seen it in some beautiful low-rise condominium developments. I feel very passionately, as I mentioned before, I have a lot of experience with seniors, and I feel very passionately about a community taking care of it from cradle. And when can no longer take care of their 2-acre property and the large home and the swimming pool, or perhaps they can no longer drive, what options do we have here in Ward 12 to support those people and condominium developments that are attractive and accessible to transit or walking to places like the Shoppers Drug Mart? I think important for us to be considering. And I think so far, Ancaster's job of developing lands along the Wilson Street area. We then have beyond the 403 Wilson Street, taking it to the third section. That's a hot topic for me because I have children who work in that area and we live just on the other side of the street, and it's not really the safest pedestrian area. We have a lovely trail that's nice to walk in the summer, but not safe at night and certainly not cleared for a mom with a baby carriage or a senior citizen with a walker to get over to the Walmart Plaza or one of the breakfast spots or anything like that. I think the development over there needs to be more pedestrian friendly to allow for people to cross the and that traffic circle at Shaver Road safely. I think some of the intense has happened in that area is boost, and I think it was well developed. So building on that to the boundary is, I think, a wise use of space, and parking lots are full and people are shopping and kids are working. And so I like seeing that aspect of the West End, the Meadowlands. I feel terribly for the Meadowlands because I feel like they have been kind of an afterthought in most elections. Everybody is very focused on the history of Ancaster, nature, the trails, the waterfalls, the village, the pubs, and nobody looks at what's happening. And I think it's critical that we take a deep dive into what's going on over there and what the residents of the Meadowlands want to see. I think it is, again, a nice place and actually somewhere between the BIA and the Meadowlands. Some of that linking land is, I think, a really nice place to see. We're seeing retirement residents come Sunrise. Great. I think it's very much needed. However, it's still for high-end retirement in our ward. But some of those developments that we're seeing bridging that break between the Meadowlands and Ancaster, I think is a lovely way to connect the two parts of our community that somehow have separately for a very long time. As far as development in the Meadowlands, we need to respect those urban boundaries. Obviously, they are determined, and I will defend those. Within those urban boundaries that have been set, I think beautiful intensification that allows for more and various level ownership is really important and hopefully bring some new families to Ancaster. As for existing areas and development, this has been a hot topic lately with flooding concerns. I'm pleased to hear that there is going to be some reporting done on those areas that didn't have the storm sewers on development because they're older And I honestly don't know if there's other Hamilton that have similar issues, so I am trying to find that out right now. If intensification in those areas are going to cause damage to properties and cause fiscal problem for the city, then I think we need to halt it until we know what we're actually dealing with. However, I don't believe that Ancaster excluded from the expectations of the city as a whole, as long as it can be done safely.
Large commercial plaza sites are converting into mixed-use mid-rise development across Hamilton. There was one formal consultation conceptual plan submitted for Meadowlands Plaza. At present, there is no city planning policy specific to commercial to mixed-use redevelopment. Within Ward 12, the plazas at Fiddler's Green and the portion of Old Highway 2 that served as the 403 connector decades ago are good examples of potential redevelopment sites. What is your vision for this type of redevelopment and how will you achieve that vision?
I think mixed-use development makes so much sense. We've seen a beautiful use of it where people can work in the same property. It is healthy. It reduces carbon impact. People aren't driving to work. I think it can be beautifully done and provides residential areas a place to do business and creates more residential property or rent. So that intersection of Wilson and Fiddler's, as an example, we have the gas station next to that, between the gas station and Fortino's, a single story plot. Increasing that or the space across the street to a low rise intensified area with proper parking, proper road safety, I 100% in favor of. Building up just a little bit does not impact the vision of our community and can actually take an older, drab-looking strip mall and give it a little bit more character, in fact. And I think today we are building things with that in mind more than we were perhaps when some of...
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 12, with numerous pedestrian deaths in recent years which have shocked and saddened the community. What is your plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
One would be the Powerline Road and Highway 52 intersection. This is an intersection that connects the rail trail across a major artery, and there isn't a safe way. I love going to the rail trail and seeing parents with children on bikes with training wheels, and then you think, how in the world would you ever cross? I know that they've been looking for a traffic circle in that area. I am 100% in favor of it, and I think it will add a lot of value to both our community and our adjacent communities into the Brantford area where the rail trail extends, for those two areas to mingle and nicely together. I think also just calming the traffic in general, forgetting about the rail trail, calming the traffic on 52 through that area, as we've already seen at Jerseyville. I live on a street that has had multiple accidents due to speeding and do not respect the stop signs that are already there. People do not respect the 40 kilometer zoning, which has now gone down to 30 kilometers, and people still speed down the street. I think we have a few arteries through Ancaster that traffic circles are not the right solution because of existing residential, where we do need to be things like traffic calming, speed bumps, or something similar to use, and especially when they're near schools and school bus routes. People talk about the traffic in Ancaster being terrible. And the traffic in Ancaster is only terrible when the 403 is terrible. And I think we need to be working really closely with our provincial partners to be expanding that 403 both directions highway in near future. Because I think given our very interesting geographical location of the escarpment, there aren't many opportunities to go a different way to get down the hill. And so obviously everybody comes on to Wilson. I think that's really critical. And I think if we expand that 403 sooner than later, we are going to see that Ancaster, the Wilson area, and Rymal Road, 53, that traffic is...
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to a counselor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I've been very blessed in my lifetime and also in my more recent career to surround myself with some amazing politicians. So I soak in everything I can. I have told Lloyd Ferguson that I would be looking to him for some mentorship, some background on topics, hot topics that maybe come up, rear their ugly head again, and what had historically been decisions made by previous councils. I am a Brené Brown lover, so I tend to do a Brené Brown almost every day for my professional development. And a big part of that is being able to work together collaboratively on teams. It's okay to be a little vulnerable now and then. And I think sometimes on councils, people aren't willing to be vulnerable. And I think we all need to be that person who can say, okay, I made an error in this case, and get up from that and move. I am a lifelong learner. I look forward to taking part in any professional development opportunities related directly to municipal politics that present themselves to me, and would be happy to as well.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city service?
I think that I don't personally have this issue, but I've been speaking with residents in Ward 12 about garbage collection. And a lot of people who are on smaller streets, a little bit off the main arteries, are some weeks not serviced at all. These are people who in Ward 12 feel that they pay sufficient taxes to have sufficient garbage collection. And I would be looking to why or how this is happening, and sort of unpacking a solution to service all the smaller areas outside of the main arteries to ensure that garbage collection is timely and weekly. It's not healthy to have all that sitting on your property for next. The second thing, if we talk about transit, and this might be something that you get into later in the podcast around, but I think that Ancaster, people don't move to Ancaster because we have great transit. People move to Ancaster for all the other wonderful reasons. And historically, people haven't used the transit because it has not been terribly accessible. It has not been terribly frequent and maybe doesn't meet the needs of the people who would use it if it were available to them. So I think we really need to be looking at whether transit will be used, even though it's not being used right now. It's that chicken and egg situation. However, I am not willing to budge on our residents of Ward 12 paying higher taxes for the existing transit services that we receive. From an area rating perspective, if that area rating goes away, we also need better transit.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life?
I already mentioned diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, I think is absolute. This idea that we can be sympathetic to the needs of marginalized without understanding. Very naive. And I think we need to work on that so that we can embrace marginalized communities, celebrate marginalized, and make them feel like they are at home, because that reduces mental health issues, impact on our end. It reduces suicide rates and it reduces crime rates, all those things that are an impact on. The other thing I'm really passionate about is arts and culture. And I'm really proud to be a Hamiltonian. When we talk about arts and culture, we are a cultural hub in our province. People come here to consume art and to consume culture. And I want to build on that. I want to build on that in Ward 12. We have a beautiful new theater and the possibility for all kinds of outdoor art exhibits and meshing the performing arts with the fine arts. And I'm really excited to see where we can take Hamilton to really be the only leader in arts and culture for the whole province.
2026, the Public Record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council?
Three words to describe my time on council: change, enthusiasm, and love. Change is inherent. We have to have change. So I would love to put a fourth word in front of there and say positive change, that we are doing great things for our community in Ward 12 with me sitting on Hamilton City Council as a representative of our residents. The second one, enthusiasm. I do everything with and passion and excitement. And I am really excited for where Ancaster is going. And I think that residents are going to see that when I knock on their doors, and they're going to hear that in my podcast, and they're going to see it in a debate. I'm passionate, I'm enthusiastic, and that enthusiasm is going to into the next 4 years. And then love, whether it be from a DEI perspective, that we are all just really being kind and loving people, whether it be really showing how we care for our community through environmental means, and taking care of our businesses, looking after our seniors, but doing everything from that place of love, a love for our community and love for the people who live in it. And what are we going to say about the entire community, the city of Hamilton? I'm going to use that change word again. I think we're all ready for some change. I think some people think change needs to be global and it needs to be absolutely everybody needs to be new. I think there's a reason why we keep past presidents on boards. I think there's something to be said for some healthy sense of history and understanding of what's happened in the past. But I do think, and we know, we've seen some counselors that have said, my time has come, I'm ready to move on, and I'm excited to see what kind of change. I'd love to see more women on council. I think women do amazing things in roles of leadership. I would love to see more people of color on council representing the residents who live in our communities. And I think some new, fresh ideas are going to be great for our city council. So change again, and of course, positive. Transit, transportation. The next 4 years, we are going to see amazing, tremendous change. What we are doing here in Hamilton from a transit perspective. And it's going to start in one area. And I have high hopes that as we build out, we will really connect the city, because right now, East Hamilton and Ancaster are not connected in any really way, shape, or form. So I'm hoping that transit will really enhance those relationships. And then my last one is connectedness. I would love to see Hamilton working as a connected, cohesive unit, really understanding the needs of all of our different little areas that were amalgamated into one city, and different areas have unique challenges and unique histories. And I think it's important that we all work together with a common goal to just make it the best of the province.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
I'm asking for votes on October 24th. I am asking for people to reach out and speak to me about what's important to them. Let's have a conversation. Happy to have that on the phone or on your doorstep. Let me know. Excited to really connect with the kids. Looking forward to serving our city.
And how do people find out more about your platform and connect with?
My website is www.meg.ca. You can reach me there. And my email address is megg@meg.ca. So very simple, not hard to find me. And my phone number, happy to receive a call as well, will be listed on my website.
Thank you for joining us. This has been episode 138 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.